Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And your calls and thoughts are welcome. 603-283-6160 if you'd like to weigh in. That's 603-283-6160. And we're talking about the metaverse here. And we like making fun of it because we've seen it in action. None of us have used a VR headset to explore Horizon Worlds. But we've seen videos of people doing it. And it's so bad that it would be funny, except for how much the media is pushing it as this next great big thing that's going to revolutionize the world, and it isn't. And I said previously that I suspect the average person has already experienced VR and is going to immediately know when they see this VR world that, this is the best you have to offer. Come talk to me in a couple of decades. Imagine being told, hey, there's a new style of 3D movie coming out. So you go
again?
To watch it. You're super excited. They finally have figured out the technology. And then they hand you those red and blue glasses. And they say, now, enjoy the movie. And that's what Meta and this metaverse nonsense is. It's taking VR technology that's gone way past those stupid red and blue glasses. Mm-hmm. And it's bringing back the red and blue glasses.
That's an interesting analogy. But I did look up the numbers. According to a study done by Harris Poll in the summer of 2021, so fairly recent, they talked to 2010 U.S. adults about virtual and augmented reality. Now, can one of you define augmented reality?
Pokemon Go. It's like where you scan an environment with your phone or something like that. Amazon also has the ability to do this, and it augments that onto your screen, like it'll add a Pokemon there or let you see what a desk will look like if positioned in a part of your room or something like that.
I thought that was pretty crazy.
You used an app like that?
Well, on Amazon, it will let you see if you're looking at, like, furniture. It will let you turn on your camera and look at your room and see what it would look like in your room.
Wow, I didn't know that.
It's sort of clunky, though, because you can't fully make it the right angle and size and stuff.
Yeah, how does it know what the size of the room is?
Well, it doesn't. It basically just takes the picture of the desk and slaps it on there. Like if it was just a PNG where it was just the desk and then a transparency layer and you had a picture of your bedroom, that's what it would
do. That sounds really clunky.
I would throw it on there.
I would think it would want to know how large the room is so you would know relatively how large the desk is going to be. Those would seem to be like basic features.
That would be helpful. I think you can pinch and, you know, spread your fingers out to zoom in and make the desk bigger or whatever. I don't remember. I've only played with it once and I was like, okay, that could be useful, but
I'll give you a useful augmented reality app. We were walking, one of our walks with Coconut around the neighborhood, and Bonnie was saying, that's a really bright, planet
star.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And which one is that?
I was like, it can't be a star. It's so bright.
And I don't know what it is, but I bet you there's an app that we can pull up.
Oh, something like Celestia or one of these?
I don't remember what it was called.
That might have been it.
Yeah, anyway, free app, and you just point it at the sky, and based on, where your GPS position, the phone knows exactly where you are, right?
It was Venus.
Yeah, we figured out what it was thanks to that. I mean, that's something
that's
you would
really cool.
have
I didn't know they had that on mobile. There was a laptop version of it several years ago that I really loved, but it was a bit different from that. Like, you could actually go out there and look at other stars like you were in a spaceship sort of thing,
It
was accurate to where they actually were. So it was pretty cool. Not augmented reality, though.
Yeah, so augmented reality is wherever you have an app that kind of assists you with whatever you're trying to do in real life.
Google Translate does this as well. Yeah. It can detect the text on your screen and modify it into a language of your choosing.
That's also one of the most useful apps. If you travel internationally, that's so useful. You can, scan a menu at a restaurant and actually, not scan, but just literally hold your phone over the menu and it It's a little clunky. It doesn't always get the translations perfect. And sometimes it changes the translation as you're sitting over it. But for the most part, you can kind of figure out what like a menu item is going to be or what a directional sign says as you're trying to, you know, walk around somewhere.
Or if you have a bilingual boyfriend and you're trying to read his diary.
Sure. I guess, yeah. Are you saying you did that?
No.
Okay.
No, definitely not.
So 23% of Americans, according to this survey last year, have tried a VR or AR headset. So you said that was actually less than what you thought it was going to be. I said it was more. I figured it'd be like 10%.
When I say I expected it to be closer to 40%, I'm not including anyone over the age of 60. So I do have to make that clarification. I imagine your average person over 60 years old has never even seen a VR headset.
Well, in that case, then you are absolutely right. Because when they break it down by generations, millennials, 42% have tried augmented or virtual reality. Now, they didn't break out which.
I'd expect it to be higher for millennials, though, and lower for Gen X.
Yeah, and then when you add in augmented, I have a hard time believing that only 40% of millennials played Pokemon Go. Maybe they didn't know what augmented reality meant, because I just feel like more of them played it.
I don't know. I presume that they were told in the survey, like, what it is. Yeah, that way they knew, but I don't know. I don't know what the questions were exactly. They also did a question of how excited are you about virtual and augmented reality? Because there's a difference between trying it and being excited about it. And when you look at millennials, again, people roughly between the ages of 25 and 40, according to the survey here, 17% were very excited. 26% were somewhat excited there. So that's a good chunk of the millennials who are pretty enthusiastic.
What year did this come out?
This was this 2021, summer of 2021, so fairly recent. Gen X, 13% very excited, 20% somewhat excited. And Gen Z, a little bit more excited, with 11% very excited and 31% somewhat excited. Boomers, barely anybody cares.
that's convenient, because we don't care what the boomers think.
Yeah.
But I don't like that they're including VR and augmented reality in the same sort of niche here, because to me those are very, very different things.
Yeah.
However, I was curious, so I checked it out. Pokemon Go, as of the end of 2020, had been downloaded. This doesn't mean unique players.
Right, because you can download it once and then delete it and download it again, I guess.
1.1 billion times.
Whoa.
Globally.
Yes, that is globally.
And I would just have to think that millennials were the number one group, because that, like, Pokemon was
millennials'
with, right? Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it came out when I was a one-year-old, I think, but like for people who are kids
or teenagers.
If you
ever say anything like that again, I'm leaving.
Wait, what did she say? Sorry, I was looking
at stats. Pokemon, I think, came out in 1997, which I would be a one-year-old.
Okay, I feel better then. I thought Pokemon Go came out when you were 1 year old.
Okay.
I was like, there's no way that much time has passed. But
no.
Okay. She's not that young.
No, I know she's not that young. I thought I was that old.
The time just moved really fast.
Pokemon has definitely been around a really long time, though. Several decades. I'm at peace with that. But Pokemon Go, you were one? 20 years went past me and I didn't notice?
I think it came out in 2015 or 2014.
Yeah, I don't remember when it was, but it wasn't that long ago, seven years ago maybe.
So one of the other interesting statistics from this first study here, again, looking at both VR and augmented reality together, 90% of those who've tried a headset, so again, only about 23% of Americans, if you include the boomers, have tried it, and 90% of those who've tried it said they're likely to use one again, with two-thirds saying they will definitely use one again. So that does suggest that there's a lot of growth opportunity for things like the metaverse in the future, if indeed it is that satisfying. But on the other hand, another study from like 2020, I think, only shows that about 55% of users are satisfied with virtual reality. So again, this other study is only looking at virtual reality, while the first one combines virtual reality with augmented reality. And one of the biggest complaints about virtual reality, which you don't get with augmented reality, is motion sickness. There's nearly more than half of the users have at some point experienced motion sickness, with over 13% experiencing it frequently, so they're not going to use it at all, 19% sometimes, and almost 25% rarely.
Yeah, I've experienced the motion sickness only with one particular game, but it was the game that I played VR the most, probably. So, but it's not like your normal vertigo where you think, okay, well, just take the headset off and sit down for a few minutes and you'll be fine. No, the vertigo, for whatever reason, it would last hours after taking off the headset.
Is that common, too? Is that what other people
I don't
experience?
Know, but that was my experience with Skyrim in VR. Sure, it was fun. It looked terrible. It was very pixelated, very low res.
Do you think the technology will make that better over time?
I don't think it can. I think it will only make it more likely that people experience vertigo because it's a disconnect between what their brain is feeling and what their brain is perceiving. So I don't know. What do you think? It's free.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
It's a fact. The best time to prepare for bad times is during good times. When you know a big storm is coming, you prepare in advance. Same goes for our future. Things seem calm right now, so it's the perfect time to prepare for the next big crisis or disaster. That's why you should stock up on emergency food from MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's largest preparedness company, with millions of happy, well-prepared customers. Our food kits stay fresh for up to 25 years. They're an insurance policy you can eat. When you need it, it'll be there. Shop dozens of food storage kits now at MyPatriotSupply.com. Our kits give you an abundance of food, totaling over 2,000 calories a day. Every family member in America needs one of these kits. So go to MyPatriotSupply.com and grab a few. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Do it before the peanut butter hits the fan again. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs that can cause Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. Mice searching for sources of food can spread bacteria and disease. Mosquitoes breed in standing water and can transmit illnesses like West Nile virus and Zika virus. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home and can leave behind allergens that trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects attack in defense of their nests and send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Household pests are a threat to our health. Learn what you can do to protect your family at pestworld.org.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Yeah.
6160 if you'd like to join us. 603-283-6160. With you tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And we're raising funds with Give Directly, which is the first nonprofit that allows you to give money directly to people who are living in extreme poverty. We're raising money for families that live in Bomet and Kilifi counties in Kenya. And these are places where there is actual real poverty, where people don't have drinking water or electricity or little things like that that, you know, are kind of critical to a person's well-being. Give Directly allows those people in those situations to make the decisions about what is going to help them the most, instead of relying on some distant aid organization to make that decision for them. And because of that, Free Talk Live is matching your donations to Give Directly up to $30,000. So if you're feeling generous, head on over to give.freetalklive.com. That's give.freetalklive.com and help out some of these areas plagued by drought, floods, and food insecurity. There's probably not a better way to directly help families in Kenya. That's give.freetalklive.com. Making fun of the metaverse here, and you brought up during the break that the Valve Index is almost $1,000, which is pretty pricey for a VR headset.
I know a guy who's really into virtual reality. It's actually Chris's partner, our Friday night co-host, his partner is. And I asked him recently, because he's apparently tried more than one headset. You know you're in to virtual reality if you've tried more than one. And he says that the Valve Index is his favorite one of all of them out there. But again, you know, it's $1,000 for this thing. Then you got to have a ballsy PC to play this thing with. So you're talking about at least $2,000 investment if you don't already have a gaming quality PC.
And that's the part that confuses me, because I would have expected Valve, you know, the company behind Steam.
This is a program that allows people to download software. If you've never used a computer before, if you're not a computer gamer, you don't know what that is.
But Steam is the largest video game distributor for PC on the planet.
Yeah, it's huge.
They're huge. And at one time, they took Bitcoin, and that was really awesome. They don't now because Bitcoin fees got too high, but, you know.
That's sad.
If they have a VR system, I would expect it to work the way that a PC normally works, right? It's just a 3D display that you strap to your head, and it uses its own controllers. That's how I would expect it to work. But no, once again, it has its own unique library of games. And I understand, it would be complicated to take a game not designed for VR, like just whatever game, Fallout 4, and create software that, what's the word I'm looking for here, that turns that into a VR experience for you.
But that'd be fun, because you blast off from like a helicopter and land in a position in Fallout.
I've never played any of the Fallouts, but that's what I would expect one of these VR headsets to do.
I think you're thinking of the game that Matt plays, which is not Fallout.
No, he plays Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's Call of Duty.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a different one. I think it's Fallout.
I've played the Fallouts. I don't recall blasting off from a helicopter.
Oh, well, I've never played it. I was thinking of watching. I mean, I've only watched people, but maybe it's not Fallout. Sorry.
Actually, there was a scene with a helicopter in one of them, I think, but.
But, I mean, if you think about the 3D experience from just a technical standpoint, it seems like it would be very, very easy to have the game running twice on two different screens and have them just slightly different from each other. Have the controllers able to make that happen and have the display do that, and then it can work with any PC game.
Nothing about that sounds easy to me.
Well, it would be easy for me, but the concept is easy, and that's what I would expect any of these to do. You plug in your graphics card. Your graphics card does most of the work, and that's literally just a display.
Yeah, but I wonder why they don't do that.
I don't know, but everyone has their own unique little library of games, and that's the part where they lose me on it, because you have things like Vacation Simulator and Job Simulator, and I understand, you know, there's people are buying that crap, but that's not the kind of game I want to play. And the one I looked at, Vacation Simulator, I expected it to look better than Facebook's Horizon Worlds. It's about the same for the most part, except in Vacation Simulator, you don't even get a torso. You're just floating hands and a floating head.
Okay.
Because those are the parts, presumably, that you can use to interact with in the VR world.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about this guy here. He lived in the Soviet Union. He was exposed to Soviet Union propaganda. And he's pointing out that all of this stuff we're hearing, it's reminiscent of what he heard as a child.
This is an interesting comparison. I mean, we've been critical of the metaverse since we first heard about it, but to take it to the level of saying it's tantamount to Soviet propaganda, I didn't expect this. It's interesting.
The
word metaverse evidently is borrowed from science fiction and refers to a future version of the internet accessed through immersive technologies such as virtual reality and augmented reality headsets. It's been pushed a lot by Mark Zuckerberg. Libin.
Reason number one to be skeptical.
Yeah, definitely. Libin, who's the guy from Russia, he's now the CEO of a couple of tech companies, described it as, quote, a gloss that uncreative people and companies put over fundamentally a lack of good ideas.
What I can't understand is if that is really what it is, if it's that Mark Zuckerberg is just like, oh, this isn't really that good of an idea, but we have to put a gloss over it, why would he get rid of Facebook, his, like, baby, and turn it into Meta? Like, we're rebranding everything.
Well, they didn't get rid of Facebook.
No, Facebook
well, yeah, they didn't
subsidiary.
Get rid of it, but now instead of Facebook, it's Meta.
Right.
And
well, he's doing what all of these people who created these enormous tech companies are doing. They created this great big thing like Jack Dorsey did with Twitter, made himself super wealthy off it, and now he's pursuing the thing that personally interests him, which is cryptocurrency. Mark Zuckerberg is doing the same thing. He created Facebook, or stole Facebook, I don't know, and I don't care, and it made him a lot of money, so now he's using that money, and Facebook's money, presumably, to invest in technology that he cares about, which happens to be virtual reality.
Well, which is so lame.
Well, from his perspective, I don't think virtual reality is lame technology. I think it's pretty neat, actually, but from his perspective, it makes sense. You know, Facebook's goal is to get people into their system, right? They want to get all of the planet to create a Facebook account. That's never going to happen, obviously, but that's what they want. They want as many billions of users, and I think they've had more than a billion, and they might still. They're very, very
probably
popular.
Not active users anymore, though.
Maybe, but they've been very successful at it, right? Like, they're one of the world's top, you know, largest tech corporations, and from their perspective, they got to do something fresh, right? Like, you can't keep doing the same thing in the tech world, right? You're going to get stale. You've got to try something new. And so he
Facebook's been stale.
Or you got to buy new ideas. Or
and that's what they did. That's what they did. Oculus wasn't a Facebook company, and Facebook said, ooh, we'll take that, and came in with billions of dollars, bought Oculus, and then, okay, now Facebook is a virtual reality company. So they are basically doing what I think you might call a pivot in the world of business. Like, okay, well, this was our main product. Now we want this to be our main product. So you know what they're trying to do is they're trying to take Facebook and move that audience into their virtual world. That's what they want to do. They want to take their existing audience, they want to grow it, they want to expand it, and they want to sell you, sell advertisements.
A lot more sense.
Yeah, that's what they're trying to do.
I have shocking numbers about Facebook's user base, by the way, that I just want to share with people before we go out to break. Yes.
All right, I'm ready to be shocked.
2.895 billion monthly active users.
When? As of when?
As of 2020.
Okay.
1.9 billion people every single day.
That's a lot of people.
Almost 2 billion people using Facebook every single day.
And imagine if they could sell virtual reality headsets to 10% of them.
But see, that's what's surprising. They don't.
They don't what?
I'm into video games, and I don't see any Oculus Rift advertisements or any advertisements for the metaverse on Facebook.
Maybe it's coming.
It probably is, but that's what they're saying. Mm-hmm. The metaverse is coming, just like the advertisements. 603-283-6160. It's free talk.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
You USA Radio News.
Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell sharply rebuked President Joe Biden on Wednesday for a speech the day before. The president urged the Senate to change its filibuster rules. McConnell called the remarks, quote, profoundly unpresidential. He went on to say that Biden's speech could be classified as a rant that was beneath his office. Meanwhile, on Newsmax on Wednesday, Georgia Representative Drew Ferguson called Biden's remarks condescending.
What small racist people have been getting have been eaten up by inflation. The Democrat policies are failing America right now. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the big liberal Democrats are failing America.
Ferguson also discussed the continuing COVID-19 pandemic and called for more focus to be put on therapeutics, which he said are getting better every single month. This is USA Radio News. In a follow-up story, a medevac helicopter crash destroys the plane, but all the passengers are alive.
A medevac helicopter carrying a child patient crash-landed outside Philadelphia Tuesday afternoon, but all four people on board are expected to survive in what officials called an absolute miracle. The crash took place roughly 1 p.m. near United Methodist Church in Delaware County on its way to the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia from Maryland. Authorities said the passengers, the pilot, a crew member, a nurse, and an infant patient, were able to pull themselves out of the completely destroyed helicopter. From the West Coast, USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
The late Senator Harry Reid is being remembered at the U.S. Capitol. Reid died last month at the age of 82. President Joe Biden paid silent tribute as Reid lay in state at the Capitol Rotunda. Reid served five terms in the Senate and rose to be majority leader. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, where you can take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever is important to you. 603-283-6160 if you would like to weigh in. Again, that number is 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And I like the way this living guy puts things. I'm not sure. I agree with him that the propaganda that we're hearing about the metaverse, it's very dystopian and unsettling. But I wasn't there in Soviet Russia. I'm surprised that they were saying, hey, no, this isn't communism. Communism is coming.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense. They didn't want people to be like, this is it. You like it?
Right. You're standing in a bread line and you're starving to death. They're telling you, no, just wait. It's coming. Just believe. You must believe.
True communism has not been tried anywhere on the country yet.
That's what Sarah said.
I mean, anywhere on the planet.
And I mean, that may or may not be true, but as, you know, the meme says, okay, but almost communism has killed a ton of people, whereas almost capitalism has liberated a ton of people. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to know how bad real communism could really be if almost communism is responsible for so much death. But we're talking about the metaverse here because this guy's weighing in on it, and he doesn't have a whole lot left to say, but I think it's worth hearing. There's a part of me that hates it and a part of me that fears it, but since I think it's so spectacularly stupid, there's actually not that much to fear. And I tend to agree with that as someone who has looked into some of these VR technologies. I almost bought an Oculus Quest a few months ago. Yeah, they had them in stock at Walmart. It was only $300.
No, they're selling these things at Walmart now.
Yeah. Occasionally. Oh, wow. I every time I go to Walmart, it's just like a ritual. I have to go through the electronics department to see if there's anything there that I, oh my God, I missed this.
Yeah, I mean, that price point is very attractive. You've got to admit. I mean, what's a PlayStation 5 cost if you can even find one? $500? $449 or something like that?
They're more expensive than the Oculus Quest, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with this quote because the more I think about the physical side of things, people getting vertigo, I probably get vertigo from this, and I was just speaking to somebody who gets migraines, like, I bet you could get bad headaches doing this. I just can't see this being something that takes off and people are like, this is the real world now.
That's sort of the issue that I think Facebook's crappy little experiment will solve. It's so unrealistic that I don't think it's going to trick people's brains into causing the vertigo sensation.
Mm, yeah.
I don't know that, never having played one of these garbage games that looks like shovelware, because they are shovelware. I looked when we mentioned the Valve Index thing. I was like, I'm curious. Do they have any games on there that I'd actually be interested in? Not for $1,000, no.
Oculus has Resident Evil 4.
I saw that, and that's their main selling point. That's the big headliner.
But there's nothing else here that I recognize. I'm looking at what's considered their most popular.
And Resident Evil 4 is a game from, like, what, 2003?
It's actually at the bottom of the list. It's the last thing on the list of most popular games. The YouTube VR, Beat Saber. Beat Saber looks like fun, I'll admit that.
Oh, yeah, I've heard people say that that's fun. It's like you're smashing things.
They're fun, but would you buy a VR headset to play it, or would you just play it at a friend's house because they had it?
Yeah, for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's my issue with so many of these VR games, is that it's a $50 game or whatever, and it's only going to entertain you for 10, 15 minutes. After that, it's a cool thing to show your buddies.
That's it. It's a tech demo. A lot of these things, that's kind of how I felt about it when I tried out the Oculus. This was at Derek J's, one of their parties they threw. They had this thing in the corner. People were playing it. And, for that purpose, it was a cool thing, right? Like, you have this thing at a party for people who've never tried VR. They can try it for 10 minutes or whatever, and then they go back to hanging out with people. That way, it's not totally antisocial. You know, you can
like
watch.
Everybody has their own virtual headset.
And you can watch the person. They had it on a monitor as well, so you could actually see what they were seeing.
That's funny.
It's just not in 3D while they're right. So you can watch them do the thing they were doing, and at the same time you watch them awkwardly like reach around and look silly. So that's kind of a fun thing for a party to do. But it just did feel like, okay, this is a cool tech demo. This is them showing off what they can do, and some of it was pretty neat. It wasn't like, but like you said, it wasn't something that was going to hold your attention for hours at a time. At least at the point
that I tried it. $1,000 at the minimum.
Yeah, and at that time it was not a self-contained unit. Now, Oculus has come out with a self-contained unit, which is the one you're talking about, the $299 one, where you don't need to have a PC to plug that into. Now,
you don't even need a PC for that one.
It's a self-contained unit, which the downside is going to be there's only going to be so many games it can handle, right? Because you don't have a ballsy PC, you're not going to be playing the top-of-the-line releases. You're going to be playing old tech or lower resolution kind of gaming. But it does give you the ability to experience that VR experience for less than the cost of a PlayStation 4. And,
but it's owned by Facebook.
That's the real downside to it. That's the number one reason why, beyond the fact that I don't spend time playing video games these days, that's the reason why I wouldn't get it. If I was looking to get a VR headset, I wouldn't get it because you have to have a Facebook account.
You do, and as I understand it, if you get suspended or banned,
say bye-bye.
Yeah, you lose access to your Oculus Quest, and that to me sounds like a bad idea.
And if you lose access to that, then you lose access to all the games you paid for. These aren't free games. You know, you're paying, I guess a few of them are demos, so they're free, but, $25 for Super Hot VR. $40 for Resident Evil. I mean, you're going to be paying for these things.
I can't imagine paying $40 for Resident Evil 4 at this point. That's almost disgusting.
Yeah. And but how much is Facebook making on that? Half?
I have no idea. But
is that an old game?
this, yeah, I guess, in a few years. But this is a
decades at least.
This is a way for Facebook to monetize their audience in a way that they've never done. Right? Facebook's quote unquote free, and that's because you're the product. They sell you to their advertisers, and they make money off of advertisers. But now they've got an actual product. They've got hardware they can sell you. Now, of course, in video games, in the world of video games, hardware is usually sold at a very bare minimum profit, if any profit at all. They just want to get the hardware into your home so you start using it and get hooked on it and start buying the software, which is where they really make their money.
Yeah,
so,
one of the big game consoles that released recently, I don't know if it was this generation or last generation, but they sold it at a loss.
To get people in the door.
Yeah, that way they could make the money off the software that they were selling for it. I wish I could remember which company that was.
So Facebook is basically attempting to become a video game company here.
Which is fine, but they're not calling themselves a video game company.
And they're trying, and that's because they're trying to increase the market and say, we're more. We're more than a video game. You can have a meeting. You know, like, come on in. Bring all the companies. They would love to have corporations buy a bunch of, Facebook Oculuses, give them to their employees and say, you don't have to come into the office. We're going to be having our meeting on Facebook or on Meta today. So you can see where they're coming from and where they see that the money is here. There's a lot of potential money, and there are millions of people who are buying these
things. Why would that be easier than a Zoom meeting or a Jitsi meeting? Well, I don't see how it would possibly be better than that.
I can see how it would. And I'm not an advocate, necessarily. I think online meetings suck in general. But if you're going to have one, I could see the benefit of doing a room, a virtual room of people, instead of a clunky mess of a video conference. I mean, anyone who's been on these video conferencing systems knows it's always a nightmare.
Why do you think that the virtual reality office, conference room wouldn't end up clunky and crappy?
Because you're not seeing your coworker's cat.
I'm just going,
oh my god, kitty!
I'm talking about from a technical aspect. How many conferences have you been in where it's like, can you hear me? Can you hear? Or their mic's not working at all.
Why wouldn't it be like that in VR? Somebody's going to be not
doing
their
thing
right.
Because it's self-contained.
Here's why. Because they would all be using working software. The headsets, just, it's either going to get you, you're either going to be in it and it's going to be working, or you're not going to be in it and you're not, your headset's broken or something like that, right? So for the people that are in that conference, there should be very few technical issues with like an audio feed from that person's microphone.
That's true, but I don't think it's going to sell. I don't think you're going to get companies to go, okay, yes, we're going to buy, 10 Oculus Quests for our employees to have meetings with, when they can say, oh, no, just use Zoom.
Get on Zoom, yeah.
It's not, like, horrible Zoom.
And I think Facebook or Meta, whatever you want to call them, would be doing a lot better if they were actually marketing this to gamers, because they may want
to. Well,
they
are. You mean the Metaverse. They're marketing the Quest, the Oculus, to gamers.
Yes. But they're the ones who are going to be interested in this Meta idea, but they can't market it to gamers because gamers are going to see this crap and go, yeah, that's terrible. 603-283-6160. There's more coming up.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind in paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big, bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
For over 20 years, Extendivite has been helping people. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. Glad I found this product. I am 51 years old and started getting headaches a couple of times a week. I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was a little high at around 150 over 95. I found out about Extendivite and I ordered some to try it. Immediately, I felt better and it lowered my blood pressure and my headaches went away almost instant. I have been taking it now for about 4 months, and I am so glad I found this product. You won't be disappointed. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live, and I want to say thank you to Jared Hofker, who is tonight's amplifier. This means that Jared is a member of the AMPS program. You can find that at AMPS, that's AMPS, .freetalklive.com. If you like the show and you want to show your support, the AMPS program is the best way to do it. It does come with a number of cool little perks, but really the reason to join is because you like the show, you value the show, and you want to show your support, you want to help out. The AMPS program is the best way to do that. Jared is a gold-level amplifier, which means that Jared is giving $10 per month to the AMPS program. Of course, it doesn't take that much. All it takes to get you in is $5 per month. That gets you in, and then you get podcasts, the amplifier-only podcasts, and some other cool stuff. So you may want to check it out. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We have Alu Axelman calling from here in New Hampshire. Alu, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, guys. Hey. So yesterday was the hearing for House Bill 1189, sponsored by Julia Sodi and Warden and Yakubovich, and it was essentially encouraging and clarifying the program, and it was encouraging the state government and municipalities to raise revenue voluntarily like the rest of us do without violence, without theft. Mm-hmm. So very interesting to have the hearing in Ways and Means for the Tax Committee yesterday, and as it just happened, Julia Sodi, the prime sponsor, was sick, so he didn't come, and Warden and Yakubovich were not there. So I essentially presented the bill to the committee, and I ended up speaking for like 30 minutes, and everyone on the committee asked me a few questions, so they all went back and forth questioning me for like 30 minutes. So it was awesome. I was having a blast. It's the longest I've ever spoken on the stand in a committee ever.
Now, this bill would allow municipalities in New Hampshire or any state agency to accept voluntarily contributed funds, correct? Create a fund to do that specifically.
Exactly. So the bill essentially says that the state government and municipalities may accept donations and also may acknowledge that donation with some sort of acknowledgement, meaning essentially advertising, meaning if a person wants to donate some money to their local fire department and to the state government for their New Hampshire hospital, and they ask them to give them in exchange something to incentivize them to give the money, like a transaction, by putting a big logo or something on the side of the building or vehicle or a bus stop or something, which we already have, then, you know, that would incentivize them. So very interesting. A lot of the committee members had a lot of concerns. Even the good ones, Burstein is libertarian, but the rest of them had a lot of concerns, even the ones rated high on NHLA. And the issues that they had were mostly they were worried about, you know, cronyism and private companies giving money to the government, which I explained. I thought I answered that question pretty well. I said private companies already give money via lobbying and donations and other stuff and under the table and legal and semi-legal and illegal corruption. This is literally the most open, transparent private private companies giving money to the government, and it offsets taxation. So number one, it's transparent and open. So obviously if Google sponsors the state government's police, you will know because it will say Google on the side of their cars.
But wait. I thought there was only the option for it to offset taxation, meaning that the municipality could choose to offset.
Yeah, the way the bill is written, the bill says that the money can be used to offset taxation or to fund a new project, which I think I'm okay with if I understand it. But it also says it could be used for other purposes, which I don't like. If I would have written the bill, I probably would have just kept it to just offset taxation, which I think keeps it simple. So they were wondering about that, and a few other conservatives on the committee said, well, what if Planned Parenthood wants to sponsor the ambulances in my town? I wouldn't like that. And what if someone really hates it and sues, and who will pay for the lawsuit? And I'm like, whoa, this is...
That's silly, is what it is. I mean, he would be unhappy that his ambulance services were being paid for by someone else voluntarily because he didn't like the company that paid for it?
Yeah, he seemed to be very concerned that there would be a lawsuit and he asked who would pay. And I said, what if someone sues because he doesn't like one of the businesses that sponsors something? Or what if someone sues because their company didn't get a contract for the ad and another company did? And I said, well, whoever outbids the most, like that's how an auction or bidding works, who gets the...
Yeah, you don't get to be sad just because you lost the bidding war. You don't get to sue someone.
You
don't
get to sue because someone was going to sue. And I said I don't think they would sue because we would have clear rules. Every town could set their own rules. Some might accept the highest bidder. Some might accept the first bidder. I don't know. And that's up to the town manager or the governor. But even more so, right now, companies, towns in the state contract with companies, and one company wins the contract and the others lose. Do they all sue? I don't know.
Given that Planned Parenthood has a habit of receiving money from the state, I highly doubt they're going to all of a sudden reverse their business model and start giving money to the state. So it seems like an unlikely scenario to begin with. But if this bill were to actually require that these monies offset the taxpayer dollars, then I could really get behind it. As of now, I'm just kind of like lukewarm towards it, like, because I don't really want to see the government get more money than they already get. I don't think that's a good thing.
Maybe we should all email and try to ask them to amend it.
Well, that's actually a good question. Is like, when can the amendments come in? Do you know, Alu, as far as
so it's right now. So I think it's in the committee, and that's why after the hearing, a few other reps came out to the hall to speak to me, and they said that, you know, if they passed it, if they were going to support it, they would want to make a few amendments, which I'm fine with. So yeah, I think generally amendments happen in the committee between the initial hearing and the exec session. So they're already talking about it, and I spoke to Julius, the prime sponsor, and said to get in touch with them, and Alan Burstein, who's on Ways and Means, wants to help with some good amendments. And I think one of the things I said to Julius when I spoke to him today was, let's maybe just do an amendment to just offset taxation to keep it simple. And that's the thing. When I spoke to Doucette and Uluri, the two Republicans on the committee who came out to the hallway to whip my butt about this stuff and like tell me all the issues with it, I said, listen, if you don't like seeing Planned Parenthood on an ambulance, I get it. I might not love it either, but I would be overall happy to see my taxes go down.
If taxes were going down, I'd be like, all right, come on in. I don't care. Amazon, Facebook, corporatize the whole thing, whatever. As long as I don't have to pay for it, I'd be totally about that. That'd be great.
Exactly. In the committee, one of the reps, one of his questions to me was, wouldn't you be afraid that this would corporatize and commercialize all of our state government? And I'm like, yes, that's the point.
Who cares?
That's the point. Fund it voluntarily. Yeah. And again, like I kept saying to him, like, even, and I think when Doucette was questioning me, he said, what if there's harm done to someone in the community and they sue? Who will pay for the exposure to that? And I'm like, with all due respect, I don't know how seeing a logo of a company will physically harm
someone. That's what insurance is for. That's why police departments insure their officers.
People can't sue for their feelings.
If they put on some stupid logo that's cheap and it falls off and lands on someone's windshield and calls a wreck, then the company that paid for that cheap logo should be sued for it. That seems...
Yeah, again, that's already... Yeah, that would be a ridiculous scenario.
I mean, it is, but I can't imagine how else one of these logos could actually do any harm to people.
Well, he was saying a conservative will be very offended by seeing Planned Parenthood's logo, which I understand, but it won't physically hurt them.
Like, did you ask him to stop being a snowflake?
Yeah, I was going to say, these easily offended conservatives, man. Jeez.
Well, I didn't quite say that, but I did use the emotional argument. I said, what will hurt is my grandmother on a fixed income of a few hundred bucks a month, when her taxes go up every year and she has to choose between paying her property taxes or her food for groceries or something, like, if she could save a few hundred bucks a month, that will actually help her and not hurt her because her taxes are hurting her and making her starve to death.
So I like this idea. Grandma, as long as it reduces the actual taxpayer burden, I think this is a great plan. If it doesn't do that, I got to say, I'm almost against it. I mean,
I think in New Hampshire there's a decent chance in most of the towns and cities that it would reduce the tax burden.
Just because of the right people are on the town boards and that sort of thing. But not in a city like Keene.
No, Keene would not.
In Keene or Nashua or Portsmouth, they'd be...
People are monsters.
They'd be all about the extra revenue. And
unless the bill tells them they have to reduce taxes.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so that's the one key change. But the fact that this is even being talked about, I think, is important. And
the good news is it's already happening, right? So I passed by another bus stop in Manchester, which I assume the city of Manchester government owns, and there were ads all over the bus stop. There were, you know, ads, buses, bus stops, and police cars. So they're already doing it. So what I was going to ask Free Talk Live is, you guys have an advertising budget. You guys, just to prove the point that it's already happening, should buy some local ads in Keene and say, hey, Keene Fire Department, I'll give you such and such amount of dollars for a sign that says Free Talk Live, freetalklive.com, LRN.FM. A bunch of ads, and you can give money to the fire department, tell them to offset taxes with it, and everyone's happy. They're happy, you're happy, and taxpayers are a little happier, too. So I think we should do this, and I might do this with Liberty Block. I might go to my fire department tomorrow and say, how much would it cost for a small plaque saying libertyblock.com on the side of your ambulances? And if it's under a few hundred bucks a month, I might go ahead and do that.
You don't want a plaque. You want to do the wrap.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you want to wrap it.
It's an interesting idea, but correct me if I'm wrong. This legislation is needed because the fire department can't simply accept your money and put your plaque up right now.
I think they can.
I believe they can. The Manchester police, I've seen it. I've seen plaques on the side of Manchester police vehicles saying sponsored by St. Mary's Credit Union.
Yeah, and I've seen city council meetings where in Keene they will say such and such a person has died and their estate is leaving the city of Keene $100,000, which is insane. But this does happen from time to time. Like the entire Robin Hood Park here in Keene was donated after somebody died from their estate. And shall we accept this? Then they have to vote to accept it, and that's it. So I'm not really sure what this does differently, besides basically encourages this or authorizes it, makes it clear. But Alu, thanks for calling about it, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I would rather taxes be voluntary. That way I can volunteer to not give the government money.
I
and
love that.
Them not hold, you know, be prisoner for that. You can join us. We're out of time in the meantime on our chat server at chat.free.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.